you're thinking about buying a dental practice, you are likely going to need financing. Dental practices usually sell for at minimum $200,000, and they can be as expensive as $2 million plus. The average is going to be somewhere around $500,000. So unless you have $500,000 lying around, you are probably going to need financing in order to buy a dental practice. My name is Chris. I have personally bought, run, and sold my own dental practice. And now I run a business where I help dentists buy dental practices. I've helped dentists work with a bunch of different banks, so I have seen what the banks are looking for and what kind of requirements they have for dentists looking to buy practices. If you find the right practice to buy, getting a loan to pay for this practice is going to be incredibly easy. Dental practice acquisitions are one of the lowest risk investments that banks can make. Dental practices in general are incredibly low risk, but especially when you buy an existing business that has documents that show that this business is already cash flowing, is already profitable, and this dentist comes in who has documents showing that he's been able to replicate that production at a previous practice, the bank sees this as an incredibly low risk opportunity, and they'll be more than happy to give you the entire purchase price of the practice, as well as sometimes some additional money for working capital that you can use for expenses. Now, startups are a little bit more risky because you don't have those documents to show that the business has already been profitable and you don't already have an existing patient base. So banks are a lot less interested in giving loans for startups. But if you're doing an acquisition, it's incredibly easy to get a loan. So what does a bank require you to have in order to get a loan for a practice? Number one, and this is the most important thing a bank is going to be looking for, is that you have a good practice to buy. The banks are going to ask you for a bunch of different documents, previous year's tax returns for the seller, the profit and loss statements, and every bank has different things they want to see. But overall, they want to see that this business has been successful for at least the past 3 years. If you find the right practice that has been profitable and successful, the banks are going to be more than happy to give you that loan. Number two, banks want to see that you have an emergency fund saved up, generally somewhere around $50,000 or 10% of the purchase price. They're going to want to see that this capital is liquid, meaning that it's not in any type of investment account, but is in a bank account such as a checking or savings account. I would find a high yield savings account. Right now you can find accounts that are like 5%, which is pretty good. So I would just save up at least $50,000, put it in a savings account, and just hold on to that until you become a practice owner. When you initially take over the business, there's going to be a transition period, and you don't want to have to rely on paying yourself within those first few months of owning the practice. So by having this emergency fund in place, you have money that you can use to take care of your expenses without having to prematurely start taking money out of the business. Number three, the bank is going to want to see that you are a dentist. They're going to ask for your license, and they're going to want to see some sort of documentation from your associate job that shows how much you've been producing. If you're buying a practice where the dentist was producing $5,000 a day on average, and you have only been producing $1,000 a day, then the bank is going to say, well, how do we know you're able to maintain the production of this dentist? Now, of course, the banks understand that maybe you're limited at your associate job because you don't have enough patients, and that's the reason you're buying a practice is so that you can be more busy and make more money. They understand that. They're not going to expect you to have produced $5,000 a day in order to buy a practice that is producing $5,000 a day, but at least kind of in the ballpark, you're getting close to what the seller was doing at this office, just so they feel confident that you are able to replicate that production. And then finally, number four, it's just normal loan stuff. They're going to want to see that you have a decent credit score, that you don't have a ridiculous amount of loans in non-business related things like credit card debt. And obviously they want to make sure that you haven't gone through any recent bankruptcies or anything like that. If you can wait, I strongly recommend not buying a house until you have bought a dental practice. And that's for two reasons. Number one, you want to have some flexibility in where you buy your practice. If you buy a house, you might limit yourself artificially to being near that house. Whereas if you buy the practice first, then you can find a house that's within driving distance of that practice. But number two, the reason not to buy a house is because the banks are going to look at how much debt you already have before offering you a loan. And if you have a huge mortgage, they're gonna be a little bit more hesitant in order to give you the loan to buy the practice. Keep things simple. Don't take out a mortgage. Don't go buy a new car and finance it. Just keep your finances simple. Don't do anything crazy, and you won't have a hard time getting a practice loan. Now, the one type of debt that the banks understand that you're going to have is student loans. Basically, every young dentist has student loans. That's just part of being a dentist, is you got to go to dental school, and dental school is expensive. So they know that you have student loans. However, there are some things you want to keep in mind with student loans as it relates to practice loans and dealing with the banks. Remember, the bank wants to see that you have that 10% of the purchase price, or about $50,000, in a savings account. So if you have not yet saved up that money, then I would not pay anything extra towards your student loan. Just pay the very minimum payments that you have to pay, and then save as much money as you can. Once you've bought a practice, and once you are making more money than you were making as an associate, then it's going to be a lot easier to pay off those student loans. But don't try to pay off your student loans early, because when you go to the bank and say, hey, I'm looking for a loan for this practice, and they ask how much money you have saved up, and you say, well, I've only got $20,000, but that's because I put $70,000 towards my student loans, they're going to say, well, that's great that you paid off your student loans, but it's not helping you towards this loan. And they're going to say, well, come back once you have $50,000 saved up. So focus on saving first. Student loans come after. And then finally, the banks are going to expect you to know the practice that you are buying. Before going to a bank, you want to make sure that you have gone through all of the seller's documents, and that you really understand this business that you're purchasing, because they are going to ask you some questions about the business. And if you don't have good answers to those questions, they might be a little skeptical that you are ready to actually be a business owner. Make sure you understand what the overhead was, the expenses from the previous owner of this business. And if the overhead is abnormally high, you need to have a plan in order to get that overhead lower, whether it be you're going to use some different supply companies, maybe you're going to use a different lab, and you can show the bank how, yeah, this dentist was doing $250 crown lab fees, and I have a lab that I can do for $60. You just want to make sure that you have a concrete plan that you can give to the bank to show them, yeah, I understand that the overhead was a little bit high at this practice, but here are some ways in which I plan to lower that. You need to have an estimate of the net income for the practice. You want to understand both how much the seller was making at that practice each year, and then you also want to do some calculations to try to figure out how much you are going to be making each year. Chances are the seller is going to have some miscellaneous expenses that he was charging through the business that you are not going to have to charge through the business. Like maybe the owner had bought a car and was financing it through the business, or going on vacations and counting that as CE expense. Those types of things can be added back to the income, because you're not going to necessarily be incurring those same expenses. But the big difference between you and the seller is going to be that the seller likely had this practice paid off and didn't have any debt. Sometimes you'll buy a practice where the seller still had a practice loan, but usually not. So you are going to have to add into your expenses the amount for the practice loan. You just want to make sure that you have this calculation done. And so when the bank asks about it, you know your numbers, and you can say, yeah, I've looked into it. This is how much money I'm going to be making. I've taken into account that I'm going to have to pay back a practice loan, and I feel confident that I'm going to be able to have a strong business even after servicing that debt. And then finally, you want to know how many active patients the practice has. Most banks, especially banks that specialize in dental practice transitions, are going to understand that the average dentist is able to produce something like $500 to $1,000 per active patient per year. So if you find a practice that has 500 active patients, but was supposedly producing $1 million in the previous year, both you and the bank should realize that doesn't make sense. There's something wrong here. There's something wrong with these numbers. There's some sort of issue going on here. Because if there's 500 patients and the dentist is doing $750 per patient, you would expect the collections to be somewhere like $375,000. So if it's at $1 million, then that means maybe the dentist was doing some crazy kind of specialty procedures. Maybe he was running the practice like a prosthodontist practice and was doing a huge amount of implants. Maybe he was getting referrals from other dentists to do more difficult cases. And chances are, if you buy a practice where the seller was being referred huge cases from other dentists, you as a relatively new grad coming in and taking away that taking over that practice are probably not going to get the same types of referrals from dentists who are 20 years older than you. So make sure you know the active patient number and multiply that by something like 700 to 800 per year. And that's going to give you an idea of if the active patient number actually aligns with the production at this practice. Make sure you are not just taking the number that the practice broker gives. The practice broker is probably going to send you some sort of form and it's going to say, oh, this practice has 3,000 active patients. But don't just take that number because that number is often massively overinflated. Two quick ways to estimate the number of active patients. You can look at the production by procedure report and find where it's talking about how many profies were done in the previous year, or you can look at recall exams. Those two should be somewhat similar. And then divide that number by two, and that gives you a pretty basic idea of how many active patients there are at a practice, because on average, active patients are going to be coming twice a year for their recall exams. So if there have been 2,000 recall exams, you divide that by two, you can estimate there are roughly 1,000 active patients at this practice. Another quick way to do this estimate is look at the number of full-time hygienists and how many hygiene days there are at the practice. The average hygienist is going to be able to do about 1,800 recall exams per year if she is working full-time. This means that the average hygienist is going to be able to service roughly 900 active patients per year. If you are buying a practice that claims that it has 5,000 active patients, but only one hygienist, then it's simply not true because the hygienist is not going to be able to see 5,000 patients per year. It just doesn't make sense. So if you find a practice that has two full-time hygienists, you can estimate there are probably around 1,800 active patients. So when should you start reaching out to banks in order to begin the process of finding a loan for a practice? Assuming that you followed the advice in this video so far, you are not going to have a hard time finding a loan for a practice. The best time to find a bank is once you have a signed copy of the letter of intent. The letter of intent, or LOI, is the document that you are going to send to the dentist to make an official offer on the practice. You're going to put your purchase price and you're going to put any terms that you want to make sure happen when you buy the practice. Sometimes the LOI will go back and forth a few times until you reach an agreement, but once you and the seller have agreed on the terms of the sale, you are both going to sign the LOI. Once you have this document, now it is time to find a bank, because the bank will now know exactly what the purchase price is going to be for this practice, and they can start doing everything that they need to do in order to qualify you for this loan. It's not a terrible idea to begin reaching out to banks before this, just so that when you find the practice, you're ready to go. You already have a banker that you've been working with. However, once you reach out to them, they're basically going to tell you the things that I've already told you in this video. And then they're going to say, all right, reach back out to us when you found the practice and when you have that LOI signed. Let's say you found a dental practice for sale. The price is $600,000 and you're ready to buy it. But you've realized you're going to have to replace some equipment, you're gonna have to do some remodels. You've looked at the practice and you like it, you like the number of active patients, you like the procedures that were being done, and you say this is a great practice, but the building is going to need some updates. This is very common. When you buy a dental practice, you are almost always going to have to do some updates and buy some new equipment. That's just part of the process. The banks understand this, and so they are oftentimes able to offer you some funds in addition to the purchase price of the practice, and this is called working capital. This working capital is some additional cash that you can have on hand in order to cover renovations and new equipment. It's also going to be useful because if you're taking insurance at your practice, which basically all practices take insurance today, then sometimes the insurance companies aren't going to actually send you that first paycheck for sometimes a month and a half after you do the procedure. So you need to build in a little bit of buffer time, knowing that you might not get paid the same day you do the work. You might not be getting paid right away. It might take a month or a month and a half in order for you to start getting paid. You as the owner have agreed to take on this risk. You know that you're gonna have a little bit of time before you get paid, but the rest of the employees at your business did not agree for this, and they are going to want to get paid right away. So that's another way that this working capital capital can come in handy. It allows you to cover payroll and make sure that you're paying your utility bills and any other expenses that are occurring before you have actually started receiving that production from the claims that you sent off to insurance. Now, maybe you don't know if you need the working capital or not, or maybe you don't know how much you're going to need. Another option that you can do is you can ask the bank if they will extend you a line of credit. That's basically an agreement that the bank will loan you a certain amount of money as needed. This can be a great way to do things because if you take out working capital right away, you are going to have to start paying interest on that money. You might not actually need that working capital, and so you are paying an unnecessary interest expense when you could have, you know, use the cash flow from the business to cover those expenses. So if you're in that kind of situation and you're not sure if you need it, ask for that line of credit so that you can hopefully reduce some of the interest expense. So some additional terms to keep in mind with loans. The most obvious one is the interest rate. The interest rates change all the time. At the time of making this video, interest rates tend to hover around 4 to 6%. As far as term length, most terms are 10 years for dental practice loans. Sometimes you can get a 15-year loan. I would recommend the 10-year if you think you're able to service that debt, because the longer the term of the loan, the more money you are going to be spending in interest expense. Another thing to look for is a grace period. Some lenders will allow you to either pay interest-only payments for like the first 6 months, or some lenders might allow you to have no payment at all for a certain amount of time, maybe 6 months or a year. Especially if you're buying a smaller practice that you're planning on building up, having that extra time before you have to start paying back your loan could potentially be really helpful. However, keep in mind that you will still be accruing interest over this time, so you ideally want to pay these loans back as quick as possible. So I hope this has been enough information in order to get you started. If you have any questions, make sure to reach out. My website and email are listed in the description. If you are interested in getting some help buying a dental practice, make sure to reach out. And I wish you the best of luck on buying your dental practice.